prayer. We're going to dismiss the children at this time. Amen. And while the children are dismissed, we're going to ask the adults to stand. Thank God this evening. Amen. For those that are here, we're going to dismiss the children at this time. Amen. And while the children are dismissed, we're going to ask the adults to stand. Amen. We're going to have our scripture reading from Hebrews chapter 3. Amen. Tonight, what we're dealing with is being a spiritual leader. Amen. Not just any type of leader, but tonight our subject matter that we're dealing with is being a spiritual leader. Amen. All right. I think I heard one.
Amen.
And that sounded like it was me. Amen. But truly, we thank God. So we're going to read, because we are under time restraint, we're going to read from verses 10 through 14 of Hebrews chapter 3. Verses 10 through 14 of Hebrews chapter 3. Amen. We pray that you have your Bibles until they get it on the screen. We'll start. Wherefore, I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in there, and they have not known. They do err where?
In
their hearts, and they have not known my ways. So I swear my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Now it's important that we do what? Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be
hardened.
Lest you be what?
Hardened
through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are
made partakers of Christ.
We are made what?
Partakers of Christ.
If we hold
the beginning of our confidence
steadfast until the end. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. And can the church say the word of the Lord?
The word of the Lord.
Is blessed already. You may be seated. Amen. Tonight, our subject matter that we're dealing with is being a spiritual leader. Amen. There are all type of leaders in the world. Amen. But tonight we're focusing on being a spiritual leader. Amen. And I passed out some notes. Amen. And I'm sure we won't get all the way through it tonight, but Lord Terry willing, we'll try to finish it up next week. Amen. The question that we're dealing with tonight, are you a spiritual leader or are you a follower? Amen. Are you a spiritual leader or are you a follower? Now, on Sunday, we went over holding on. Amen. Who's still holding on? I said, who's still holding on? We're still holding on to God. Amen. Amen. We have to hold on to God when everything else is failing and coming down because God is real. And God's word is true. Amen. And a part of holding on in Job chapter 17, verse 9, Job says, the righteous shall hold on to his
ways.
The righteous shall hold on to his ways. And he that hath
clean hands
shall grow what?
Stronger
and stronger. Many times we try to figure out, well, why does it seem like I don't have the strength that I should have? Amen. Are your hands clean? And are you holding on to God? Amen. If the righteous shall hold on to his way, righteousness is being a godly leader. Amen. Godly leadership is being righteous. And today we're inundated with so many different things from so many different avenues. Many times the church has lost its true distinction or identity. Amen. There was a time when you could look at saints and tell who saints were. All right, I'm not going to get nosy and medical, but I'm just telling you like it is. Amen. You can look at a saint and tell who a saint was. Let me ask you a question. When you see those people in the camouflage uniform, what are they?
Soldiers.
Why? How do you know?
You can tell.
Right? Come on, everybody can participate in this. I'm not going to ask you no hard questions yet. So you see them in the camouflage uniform, you know they're what?
Soldiers.
If you see somebody with a green hat on, they're what? Green beret. Right? And if you see someone for silver handle, they're what? They're the needy. Amen? So what I'm saying is every branch of the natural service has a distinction or identity. So should it be in church. We should have an identity. When people look at us, they might know which part of the army of the Lord we're in, but they should be able to tell that we are what? Soldiers in the army of the Lord. Amen. So tonight we're dealing with spiritual leadership. Ty, I'm gonna let you do it because whenever I try to do it, it always messes up. If you already have problems, all right. That's why I gave everybody notes. Even though it's small, we can try and keep up. Because what I want us to do is to get this, amen. You ever heard the saying, today is the first day of the rest of your life?
Yeah.
Every day is a new day. Amen. Today, God gives us the opportunity to correct the things that we did not do yesterday. Amen. So every day with God is a new day. And in it being a new day, we have to have a new mindset. Amen. As we approach each day, it has to be a new mindset. So we said, are you a spiritual leader or a lemming? A lemming is a what? Follower. Okay? Lemming is a follower. It says the leaders set the standards and bar extremely high in being a spiritual leader. The first place that we have to be a spiritual leader at is not in church. But we have to be a spiritual leader first at home. Because Paul tells Timothy, if you cannot take care of your own house, what are you going to do in the house of God? So spiritual leadership does not start in church, does not start in praising and in worshiping. It does not start in whatever spiritual office you have. It starts before you get to church. Because if you cannot properly take care of things at your house, how can we do it in church? Amen. So we set the bar extremely high and are in positions of superiority and dominance. Now, I didn't put spiritual in front of all these, but we're talking about spiritual leaders. Amen. Because we're all leaders in some type of way. But the most important leadership that we need today is spiritual leadership. Amen. Spiritual leadership meaning a standard of holiness. Can we say holiness?
Holiness.
All right, I'm going to have you all help me. Amen. Holiness is a standard. Now, holiness is not just an identification, but holiness is a way of life. Leaders do not conform to the standards and goals that are set by
others.
The standard and goal that we try to measure up to is the goal, the standards that are set by God. Now, actually, the Lord dealt with me about this over a year ago, but he just gave me the clearance to use it tonight. Amen. Standards. What standards are we governing our lives by? Amen. Not just in church, at home, in the community, at work. What are the standards that we're governing our lives by? Amen. And dealing with the saints, when you're not in church, what are the standards? Amen. And dealing with your relatives, what are the standards? We set the standard high because the standard that we use as our measuring stick is the Word of God. Right. So we set the standard high. When? At all times. Amen. The Bible said we are to present our bodies, what kind of sacrifice?
Living.
A living sacrifice means we live it at all times. Amen. So lemmings are the sheep or followers, on the other hand, make the supreme effort to conform to the standards and goals that are set by others, for them without a cognitive recognition. You ever feel as though you just do something and you don't even know why you do it? Hey man, seriously, do you consider it? We do things many times we don't consider why we do it, and then when you do it, you say, well, why did you do it? I don't know, everybody else is doing it. That's a follower. That's a lemming. That's someone that has forgotten the Word of God. Amen. Whatever we do, the standard of our measure should be the Word of God. If it's not in the Word, then we should not do it. Amen. I don't care what's being propagated as popular. That makes you a lemming or a follower and not a leader. Living in reality are small rodents who have been known to follow each other as they charge to their death into raging rivers or off of cliffs. Living sheeplehood or herdhood or herd mentality is an innate psychological phenomenon observable in common people as well as in the most sophisticated and educated elite and leaders. Lemminghood is not an intellectual phenomenon, it is a psychological. Being a follower is not intelligence, it's just being a psychological. Amen. It doesn't matter how wise you are. Amen. Even I, you know, sometimes I look back over my life and some of the decisions I made, some of the things I did. Now that I'm older, amen. You know, hindsight is always 20/20, right? You look back and say, wow, why, this doesn't even make sense. Why did I follow that? Why did I do that? Because of this psychological phenomenon. Because if we would have intellectually evaluated it, many of the things we do and say we would not do. Because we realize as we look into the Word of God, and one of the things the book James says, he said, whoso looketh into the what?
Perfect
law of liberty and do what? Continue. That is a spiritual leader. Amen. A spiritual leader looks into the perfect law of liberty and continue it therein, not being a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the W-R-K-S, works. That's a spiritual leader. Now, if that's the measuring stick, if that's the standard, we look at, when we make our decisions, we should say, is this in the Word of God? A good spiritual leader will do the things that are contained in the Word. So, well, I did it yesterday, but it didn't say just do it once, but you have to do what? Continue in what's right. Amen. I did it when I first got saved 10 years ago, but what are you doing now? You have to do what? Continue. Amen. And then the scripture said, if you continue in it, then this man is blessed in his deed. That's a spiritual leader. Amen. Not just in church. How much time do we spend in church? All right, let's see some man together. How many hours are there in a week?
A bunch.
7 times 24. 7 times 4 is? 28. All right, 7 times 2 is? 14. Carry the 2, that's 6. So we spend, what, 168 hours in a week. How many hours do we spend in church?
6.
If we add them all up, we might squeeze in 6. So that means that almost 90% of our time is spent where? Outside of church. That's when it counts the most in trying to be a spiritual leader. What are you doing with your time outside of church? And as we're going to continue, we'll see the devil is a master manipulator. Because he occupies our time with everything but the Word of God. Then in the midst of our trials, we try to figure out what went wrong. Those other 162 hours is what went wrong. Because when we're in church, we hear, we know, and we do. The real challenge is what happens those other 162 hours when you're not in church. What are you doing? You know, just break your hours, your days up. And, you know, most of us work 8 hours. At least we go to work for 8 hours. I don't know how many hours we work. But we go to work for 8 hours. It might take us an hour to get there, an hour to get back. That's 10 hours. 10 times 5 is 50, so those 50 hours are gone. So now we're down to 112 hours. Amen? What are you doing with those 112? Well, let's see, most of us sleep 8 hours, right? Amen. So 8 times 7 is 56. So that leaves us now with 56 hours. Those 56 hours when you are conscious, what are you doing with that time? What are you using that time for? Amen. I read something from Bishop G.T. Haywood. As I tell you, I read all the time. And this is what Bishop G.T. Haywood said. This is what he instilled in the saints. He said, and he used this example. He said, now, how many of us have to think to walk? Do you have to think to walk?
No, sir.
All right. Somebody, you have an answer?
No.
No, right? Do you have to think to breathe?
No.
Amen. That's what? A part of you, because you've done it so much, it is just instinctive. You do it. Amen. When Bishop G.T. Hayes said the Word of God, we should get into it so much that it should also be a part of us. That instinctively we should do it, just like walking, talking, eating, and breathing. We should not have to think, because it should be a part of us. Well, to be a spiritual leader, you cannot be a leader without the Word. In order to be a spiritual leader, you have to have the Word. Amen. Let's drop down to, it says, Christians and non-Christians can generally be divided into two categories in life. Either you are a leader or you are a follower. According to the order of nature, there are far more followers than there are leaders. Amen. Just think, what do you do? What do we do? Amen. Especially in the, when we're dealing with unsaved, are we following the trend or are we setting the standard? Leaders do what? Set the standards. Amen. Sadly enough, most of the followers don't know about the vast majority of lemmings or followers, and thus end up forming or reinforcing unsubstantial belief by taking after an ill-informed crowd. You know, sometimes you ask your kids, you say, well, why did you do that? He said, well, I just did it because everybody else is doing it. Amen? We're trying to go into a different spiritual realm. Amen? We want to have a different spiritual position. Well, you cannot do what you've done in the past. If we just split our days up, can we commit to one day of an hour of prayer a day and an hour of Bible reading? Can we commit to that? You know why? Because we're trying to instinctively do what God would have us to do. Amen. It's time to turn off the radio, put down the other books for a little while, turn off the devil's eye for a little while. What's the devil's eye? Are y'all going to help me? This ain't that serious. Amen. You got to turn some of that stuff off, because those things are nothing more than distractions. Amen. And then when you get in the worst part of your trial that you ever had, you know, the Word of God doesn't instinctively come to direct you, because you have not made it a part of you. Amen. Everything in our lives should be governed by God's Word. Because the Bible lets us know that God is keeping account of every deed that we do in our body. Even when you are not consciously aware of it and you're doing things, God is keeping a record. So it's so important that in God keeping the word record, we want to make sure that we are being governed by our spiritual nature. Amen. Peter tells us, according as his divine nature. Well, how do you develop that divine nature? By consuming the Word of God. According to his divine nature, has given unto us not some things, but all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Somebody says, well, I don't feel as though I'm as godly as I should be. Are you being a partaker of his divine nature? If you have the Holy Ghost, that's the start for the divine nature. But then you can't just have the Holy Ghost, but the Holy Ghost has to also have you. That's how you become a part of the divine nature. Well, what do you do? But ye be loved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith. What's that?
Praying in the Holy Ghost.
Praying in the Holy Ghost. Amen. So we're trying to get a divine nature. To get the divine nature, you got to get in touch with the divine God. And then you pray, and likewise, the Spirit, which is what? Holy Ghost, will help our
infirmities.
So, well, why do I need to pray in the Holy Ghost? Amen. This is why young people isn't good to have the Holy Ghost. Well, why do I need to pray in the Holy Ghost? Because he that prays in the unknown tongue doesn't know what he is praying for. When you pray in the Holy Ghost, it said, we pray in English, we pray according to our understanding. But when we pray in the Holy Ghost, likewise the Spirit helps our infirmities, because we don't know what to pray for as we are. But when we're praying in the Spirit, then the Spirit is making intercession for us according to the will of God. And he that is searching, where's the Holy Ghost at? In our what? Heart. So just, this is the picture you have to get. This is why it's important to pray. If the Holy Ghost is in your heart, and you're praying in the Spirit, and the Spirit is searching your heart, what is the Spirit praying to? The Spirit. You can't miss. That's why I say, and we know when you've done these things, that what? A lot of people say, well, all things work together for good. They don't work together until you start praying and get led by God. So I say, well, it's going to work out. It's going to work out when you do what God requires of you to do. So you must learn to pray. Amen? It says, often followers are incapable, insecure, or just too
lazy.
Is it up there? Just too what?
Lazy
to think. Say, so why did you do it? I just did it because everybody else is doing it. You know, salvation, let me explain something. Heaven is too important to you just to do stuff because everybody else is doing it. It's way too important. Amen. Heaven is more important than anything. And that's why Paul tells Timothy, listen, you didn't bring anything into this world, and guess what? You're not going to take anything out. The only thing that you are accountable or responsible for is your soul. Amen. But the devil, because he's the devil, he distracts us to make everything else primary and God secondary. So our focus is on what we can amass when you can't even take it with you. We brought nothing into this world, and it's for certain we'll take nothing out. Amen. But our soul. Amen. So it says, they're lazy, too lazy to think on their own and perpetuate their own naivety by accepting the what kind of mentality?
Herd.
You ever seen the herd mentality is, have you ever seen, anybody watch Wild, any of those Wild Kingdom programs, nature programs? You ever see elephants and different things when they start stampeding? When they're stampeding, that's called a herd. And as they're stampeding, guess what? They can go through it once. Now, when you use elephants, because they're big, they can move buildings, cars, and everything. They have no consciousness of what they're doing because the one in front is leading and everybody else is what?
Following.
Well, the herd mentality is that you've been doing it for so long because you're just following the what?
Crowd.
And you're not even making any conscientious efforts for yourself. Especially young people. It's hard for young people to make a stand because they don't want to be different. I'd rather be different and go to heaven than be the same and go to hell. Listen, I'd rather be different and go to heaven than to be the same and go to hell. Amen. If I wind up in hell, I say, well, Lord, I just did what everybody else did. Let me ask you a question. I think I know the answer to this. If all of us went over on Coliseum, who knows what a Coliseum Bridge is? All right. We all follow each other. Now, I don't swim too high. Okay. So if I get to the Coliseum Bridge and I see everybody else start jumping over, are you going to jump over just because everybody else is jumping over? Right? That's in your right mind. That's a big picture, but you know, in the small picture, that's what we do a lot of. A lot of us are just jumping off of bridges and killing ourselves spiritually because we're following the crowd. It's time to be different. Amen? So more often than not, we're going to change this. The followers choose instead to simply accept the loudest voice in the church community. Well, I like what they said. Now let me explain to you. What people say and do should always measure up to the what? Word of God. If it's not in there, then don't follow that. Amen. I don't care how eloquent they preach and teach and do what. If it's not in the word, it might sound good. Amen. But your spiritual radar should go off when it's not in the Word. We do not want to just be a follower, amen, but we want to be a doer. Amen. They accept the loudest voice in the church, community, society, our nation as a whole without any
consideration.
They're dealing with using our right mind. Followers, denial is a basic psychological defense and used to not only shield themselves from unpleasant realities, but also to reassure themselves that they will still fit within the acceptable range of opinion held by their peer group or the
majority.
Amen. Can you go to St. John's chapter 12, I think verse 32? You can? All right then. Turn to St. John's chapter 12 and verse 32. They're trying to fit in with what? The majority. They don't want to be different. They want to fit in. Amen. So was the case that Jesus dealt with in his day and age. Amen. And he was telling them, you got to be different. You can't do what everybody else is doing. Amen. So let's go to verse 32. This is Jesus speaking. He says, and I, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw
all men to myself.
He said this signifying what type of death he was going to die, but it also has a dual application in that if we will lift him up, he will do what?
Draw all men.
That's part of being a leader. You want to lift up Jesus. Amen. Tonight, who are we lifting up? I'm not talking about the 6 hours in church. I'm talking about the other 162 hours. Who are we lifting up? Verse 34 said, the people answered him, we have heard out of the law that Christ abideth forever. And how sayest thou, the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is the Son of Man? Let's skip down to verse 37. It says, but though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they still, they did not believe on him, that the saying of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spake, Lord, who hath believed our report, and to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? Therefore they could not believe, because that Isaiah said, and we know Isaiah is who?
Isaiah,
Isaiah is in the Greek, is Isaiah in the Hebrew. He has blinded their
mind.
Let's pay a particular attention to the next couple of scriptures, because we're trying to get rid of our following the loudest voice of being different. Amen. We're trying to get rid of that mindset, following the loudest voice and wanting to be different or trying to fit in with the peers. It's all right to fit in if it's in God's word, but if it's in opposition, then we need to do something different. Amen? He said that the saying of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spake, Lord, who hath believed our report, to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? Therefore they could not believe, because that Isaiah said again, he hath what? Blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts, that they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their hearts, and be converted, and I should heal them. These things said Isaiah when he saw his glory and spake of him. Nevertheless, now we're talking about the loudest voice and trying to fit in. Nevertheless, among the chief rulers also many believed. Now they believed on him. Amen. And we're talking about the difference between, you can leave it off, I'm going to finish here. We're talking about the difference between being a leader and a follower. So now it says they believed on him. Amen. And but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him. Following the loudest voice. Following what was popular. Following what everybody else did. Now they believed on him, but they would not confess him. If you ever read about Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus, they were followers of Jesus, but they did it how? Secretly. Amen. Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus, until they had to go get his body after his death. They followed Jesus, but they did it secretly. Nicodemus was a what? Pharisee. Amen? But they did it secretly. Why? Because they were following the loudest voices. And they were being persuaded by their peer group. Amen? It said, did not confess him, lest they should be put. They were afraid of losing out. But they believed on God. But they were not leaders. They were followers because they were afraid of the Pharisees. Well, what was their real issue? The real issue in verse 45. The real issue is, and we, like I said, we're in here, Lord willing, next week we can get a little further. But we're talking about the difference between being a follower or being a leader. Leaders set the standard high. Amen. If I got saved 5 years ago and I used to pray an hour a day, and I'm 5 years later, I got to set the standard a little bit higher. Amen. Because righteousness, the Bible talks about righteousness unto righteousness, faith unto faith. But the path of the just is like a
shining light.
Our lives can't stay the same. It has to change from day to day. We cannot be the same in September of 2014 as we were in September of 2013. Amen. Because his day of coming is drawing closer. The Lord's coming is closer. But verse 43 said, for they love the
praises of men
more
than the praises of God.
And that made them followers. Because they would make a stand for God. Amen. And I wonder how many in the world today just want all the praises of men. Want to hear their praise, the applaud, commendation from the loudest voices, but don't want the praises of God. We, as people of God, should instinctively want to do the God thing. Amen. It shouldn't even, you know, if you call, you know, you ever sometimes get put in some precarious situations. Amen. In a precarious situation, they say, did you do this? Now, you know in the back of your mind, if I say yes, I'm telling the what?
Lie.
Y'all gonna help me? If you say something that's not true, it's a what?
Lie.
Who's the father of all liars? Right? So who's the influence if you tell a
lie?
So you're calling it a precarious situation. If I tell the truth, I look bad. So what do you do? Don't answer, just think about it. All right? What do you do? You're caught in a bad situation. If I tell the truth, I'm going to look bad. Listen, if you lie, God sees it. It's not important what man think when God sees and knows the truth. So that should never be a precarious situation. Amen. That shouldn't even be an inkling or temptation to tell a lie. Because that means we're seeking the praises of more than. And that's the mechanism that the devil has used to make so many of us lose out on our blessings from God. We keep pleasing man. And God says, I can't help you. Because you forgot about what's number one. We are to love the Lord our God with.
Oh.
Did he say some of it?
Oh.
All our hearts, all our minds, all our souls, and all our might. In our precarious situations, what do we do? When our back's against the wall, what do we do? Amen. When we have to give an answer, sugarcoat it. When you sugarcoat the truth, it's a what? It's a lie. Amen. They said, well, it wasn't a big lie. I heard the book of Revelation say, what kind of liars?
All liars.
We have an all-liar Bible class together tonight. All liars. It does not distinguish or discriminate. It doesn't say little lie, big lie. It just say liars. All liars should have their part in the lake of fire. Amen. Whether finds not place in the Word, dieth not. One, praises a man. And God knows the truth. If we want to be a spiritual leader, we have to do what's right in the eyes of who?
God.
So the next time you call, just go ahead and tell the truth. I'd rather be in trouble with man than to be in trouble with God. Didn't Jesus tell him, I believe it's in Matthew chapter 10, he says, fear not him that's able to destroy the body. Who's that?
Man.
He said, but fear him who's able to destroy both the body and soul in hell. As we see, the next time you need to make a decision, is it based on the approval or the praise of men, or is it based on the praise of God? They believed on the Lord, but they would not confess him because they were afraid of what man would do. Amen. Count the losses if it's from man, but count the blessings if you make a stand for God. Because even though it might seem like everything is going against you, when you stand for God, God will stand for you. When you stand for right, then God will honor your stand. But the moment you know, it's like, well, I tell part of the truth, and I leave a little bit of it out. Part of the truth is always a lie. Amen. Now we'll turn to deal with tonight. Now, people can tell you anything. I'd rather be right in the eyes of God than any man. Amen. I'd rather just, you know what I'm saying? Listen, I had a situation years ago, and somebody said, well, you got to believe this, or these are your consequences. In the back of my mind, I said, you know what? I'm going to have to think about that twice. I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to do what's right in the eyes of God. They said, well, why would you do that? I said, because if I do that, I'm living a lie. I wanted tonight, how many of us are living a lie because we know we're not in the truth? Amen. We know we're compromising. We know we're just following a whole lot of hogwash that won't do anything for us instead of making a stand for God. Amen. If you do something and your heart is not in it, didn't we read recently, if your heart condemns you, God is what? Greater than your heart. And you know. You didn't tell the truth. You know you weren't honest. As the elders and the ministers come forward, whose praise are you trying to seek? Whose approval are you looking for? It's more important tonight to be right with God. To be a spiritual leader, we should always set the standard and the bar high. There is no higher standard or bar than the Word of God. Amen. So before you make your next decision, amen. Can we instinctively do what God would want us to do? Well, you cannot do it instinctively unless you read the Word of God. I believe it's St. John 5:39. Jesus tells us to do what? All right. Search the Scriptures. He says, search the Scripture, for they are they that testify of me. Amen. It's time for the church tonight to search the Scriptures. Amen. The Bereans were more noble than those of what? Thessalonica. Why? And then they received the Word of God with all readiness of mind, but they did what? Search the Scripture to see if those things were true or not. Well, you'll always be a follower if you just take somebody's word at value. It's our responsibility to do what? Search the Scripture. Amen.